I'll be reading from 1 Corinthians 10 and 11. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews, Greeks, or the church of God. Even as I try to please everyone in every way, for I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ.
Good morning. I hope you have all enjoyed a great Thanksgiving. And I know some of us are continuing to celebrate even today. So it's just a great weekend. And hadn't the weather been a blessing as well? Hadn't it been just a fantastic weekend? And I hope you've gotten to spend it with family and friends and have enjoyed that time of being together. And that we've taken time to be thankful. For all the blessings that God gives us. And I was just talking with Ernie. Several from our community have passed away this weekend. I was not aware of all of those. Mr. Ernest Jordan passed away. Mr. Ed Todd passed away. And Mr. Ronnie Hill from over to Eagleville, that many of you may know was a young gentleman, passed away. And then I've talked to some folks who I know this is their first holiday losing loved ones. And it's just... It's a great time to celebrate, but it also can be a time of sadness. And I want us to be mindful of those who are have sickness or struggling. I'm always mindful of those that spend the holidays in the hospital, either as patients or as family members. That's always a tough time as well. So I don't want to be a downer on our celebration, but I do want to be mindful of others at this time of year. It's always sad to lose someone, but it seems like the holidays are always kind of tough. So let's just bow together. Yes, sir.
Roy Burris, Andrews.
Uncle?
Passed away.
Okay, did not know that, Andrews. I know he had been sick now for a while. So want to be mindful. And I know there are others, and we'll have the prayer list here in a minute, but just mindful. I was, this weekend, I have not been to the funeral home. This weekend, and I'm going to tell you, through the years, I can remember very few Thanksgiving weekends that I haven't at least been at the funeral home, and more than half of them I have performed a funeral or been a part of one over the Thanksgiving holidays for the last 30 years. And I don't know why that is, but one of our families, the Travis family, who used to attend with us, 3 out of 4 years, that family had a death at Thanksgiving. They lost Johnny's mother 1 year, then they lost a nephew, I think, the next year, and then lost a brother. And so I was with them in all of those. It just seems unusual, but those just always stand out. I got for a while there, I just didn't want to answer the phone on Thanksgiving morning because it just seems like a tough time. But let's pray together. Dear Father, it is a gorgeous day that you have given us, and we're thankful for the beauty of this weekend, but most of all, Father, we're thankful for the beauty of the blessings that you give us, the material blessings that we have in such abundance, just almost more than we can comprehend, Father. Truly, you have put us in a land that flows with milk and honey, and we're thankful to you for that. Father, I know there are those here with us today that are not feeling great and have some physical issues, but Father, for the health that allows us to be here, and for those of us who are free of pain today and feeling good today, we just want to thank you for that, Father. What a blessing that is. For our families, Father, we're thankful for our freedom. We are just thankful for this community that you have blessed us to live in, for this great nation in which we live. We give you thanks. Father, we're mindful at all times of the year, and especially now, Father, for those who are in the hospital this weekend, for those who have loved ones that they're concerned about, Father, we just pray your comfort, your peace, and your healing be on them at this time, Father. For those who have lost loved ones even these last few days and many that we have known, Father, we pray your peace and comfort on their families, and Father, especially those who have lost loved ones over this last year. You know that the holidays can be a time of lots of memories and stressful time. And we just pray your blessing on those folks. Father, help us all to have a greater faith in you. Father, thank you for the great gift that you gave us in your Son Jesus. And Lord Jesus, we're thankful for your willingness to do the Father's will and to be about his business and to freely give your life as a sacrifice for us. While we were sinners and rebellious, that you died for us and that you've loved us. Father, we're thankful because that gives us great hope and the promise of life eternal. And we're thankful to you for that. Father, increase our faith and help us to always live with thankful hearts to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So, today, for those of you who are visited, we're certainly proud you're here. We had a lot of visitors today. We've got several of our number that aren't with us. I know some are traveling and some are sick. But for those of you who are visited, we're just honored that you're with us and want to invite you to come back. I think everybody's face is familiar. Some of you have not maybe been with us here before, but we've met in times past, but we're glad you're here and invite you to come back and be with us at any opportunity that you get. We're preaching through the book of Acts on Sunday morning, but we're taking an aside today. We're not going to talk about the book of Acts today. I want us to talk about being about God's business today. I want to ask you a question. This is kind of an occupation, a business question, and I hope you come up with the right answer. If not, we might need to talk about that. But is it good at work, in your workplace, or in your school work, or whatever you find yourself doing, that are you satisfied, happy? Do you think it's the performance you ought to be about if the job you do is just good enough to keep you from getting fired? You say, well, I'm not going to get fired for it. Are you satisfied with that? That, no, I'm not the best employee, but they're not going to fire me. I can skate by. I'm a C-minus student, or maybe a D student. I didn't fail, but I certainly didn't excel. Or I'm not an A employee, but I usually get there most every day, and yeah, I talk some, and if nobody's looking, I might not do my best, but I'm always pretty much there, and I'm doing okay. Is that a good way to excel? Thank you, Mac Allen, for at least shaking your head. The rest of you look like you don't understand the question. When's the last time you had turkey? You can't tell me you're still in a turkey coma. I'm not buying it this morning. Wake up. It's not the way to live, is it? It's not the way to do well at work. It's not the way to do well at school. Thank you. I'm not giving it back. And it's not the way we ought to live Christian lives. I know I've shared this with you before, but one of my pet peeves is we'll talk about an issue, a biblical talk about serving God, and people will use the phrase, well, it's not a salvation issue. And that just rubs me wrong. It just really rubs me wrong. Now, I do believe in matters of opinion that there is freedom, okay? That there are times we don't always agree. It's not biblical. I get that. And I know that's sometimes what people mean when they say it's not a salvation issue. But am I really being what God wants me to be if I say, well, I don't really care about this issue. It's not going to condemn me to hell, so I don't really care. Because that's really what that sounds like to me when somebody says that's not a salvation issue. It's like saying, well, it may not be my best work, but I'm not going to get fired for it, so I don't really care. I just don't think that's what God calls us to. And I have no particular issue or thought in my mind when I say that, but I think what God calls us to, what God really requires of us, is not to be average in our following Him, not just to do enough that we can escape the fires of hell, although I'm all for that. Somebody was talking to me the other day about cremation. Well, I thought about cremation, and I'm not condemning of those who want to be cremated, but my stance is this. I'm making as many arrangements as I can to stay as far away from fire when I die as I can, and I'm not going to start with cremation. I might wake up and be confused about where I am. But I want to avoid eternal punishment. But that's not what motivates me in my service to God. I mean, that's what motivates us to begin to understand that for those who do not follow God, for those who do not love God, for those who do not serve God, that there is condemnation. And that's what the Bible teaches us. But is God really pleased if my only motivation is not about serving Him, not about loving Him, not about being about His business, but it's just, well, I'm going to make sure I don't do anything that condemns me to hell. And that's a whole long discussion, so I'm not making a theological statement there. Just follow me. Because sometimes that's the way we live, isn't it? But how unhappy would you be as an employer with an employee that says, I'm just going to make sure that I don't do anything that gets me fired? And you've all worked, or as an employee, you may not be an employer, but how much fun is it to work next to somebody who their goal in the day is to get through it and not get fired? They are really valuable most of the time. Aren't they pleasant to work with? Because what are they? They're always wanting to help you. When they get their job done, they're going to help you, right? They're going to go out overboard to help the customer. They're going to do some extra things to make the office. No, they're not. What are they going to do? Exactly what gets assigned to them, and they'll do that. And they may do that well, but they're not going to do anything extra, right? They're not looking up for work. They're not answering the phone if they don't have to, depending on what environment you're in, right? Who likes that? Who appreciates that? Who gives the award? Because, you know, I really appreciate you for being the most mediocre employee I have. You know, I know you're always going to be here because you're not going to do anything that I'm going to fire you, and you're not good enough for anybody else to want you. So I know we're always going to be together. That's how that works, isn't it? Nobody hires your bad employees away if you've ever been an employer. You know, nobody wants them. You know, it's the good people that they want. But you don't reward those people. You may tolerate them, and we can discuss whether that makes sense or not. But you're not pleased with those folks. So why would God be pleased with us if our service to Him is only that I'm just going to avoid getting in trouble? I still believe that's what God's called us to. And I don't think that's the mentality. We ought to be looking, what can I do? What should my attitude be, my actions be, not only so I avoid doing those things that are wrong, but so that I am about serving and pleasing God. God says, I'm a jealous God. You'll have no other gods before me. God wants and desires and deserves and requires that He be first in our lives. That we be about His business. And so the way I want to live is not, I'm just looking for, well, I don't think this affects my salvation, so it doesn't matter. It's about the decision I make. What does God really want me to do? Yes, I may not be condemned for doing A or B, but what does God want me to do? What am I really about that serves God, that honors Him, that glorifies Him? You know, it's not wrong to strive for excellence. It's not wrong to strive for excellence in anything we do. And sometimes, you know, and we're bad about picking at people who excel. From the time we're kids, don't we pick at people that excel? Do straight A students sometimes get picked on? They do, don't they? That's what I've heard. I don't know. I've been told that. Sometimes folks who do too much at work, people resent them, right? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Don't mess in the nest. You know, we got a good thing going. There is that pressure not to excel, not to overdo. Because it sometimes makes us feel bad when others are doing more. What should our reaction to that be? We ought to be doing our best, right? But the group reaction is, hey, slow down, slick. But our service to God, and it's about doing our very best for God. Doing our very best. And it's not about egotism. It's not about, hey God, I'm going to be so great that I'm going to be valuable to you that you can't ignore me. Because I can't repay God. And it's not that I'm going to be so much better that God's going to love me more. God is perfect in His love. It's about because God has been good to me. God has made such a tremendous sacrifice for me. God watches out for me that I'm going to be in service to God and give Him my best because He deserves it. God deserves my very best. And for God who gave us the very best and who blesses us, to give Him anything less is just wrong. Right? Are you with me? It's just wrong. To do anything but to give God our very best is just wrong. It's just sad to not give God the very best we have. Now, are we in competition with each other? No. No. Because here's the deal. Maybe I've been given more talents and opportunities than you have. And so if I do just a little bit better than you, but I'm not doing my best, should I find any satisfaction in that? No. Should you be discouraged in that? No, because what do each of us do? The very best we can where we are with what we have, right? That's all God asks. Remember, we have one guy who has 5 talents, another man who has 2 talents, and they both go out and do well with what they have. And what's the master say? Master's pleased with both of them, right? One of them performs better, but he had more opportunity. But God wasn't more pleased with what God gave them, what the master gave them, he was pleased. But the master was not pleased with the guy who said, I'm going to give you back what you gave. I didn't waste it. I didn't squander it. Here it is. You gave me this, and I'm giving it back to you. And the master's not pleased. Because that servant didn't do anything with what he'd been given. And so we're not in competition with each other. We shouldn't compare ourselves to each other. We'll be judged against which standard. This is a scary thought, isn't it? What's the standard that we get judged against? It's not speculation. Scripture tells us. Against Jesus, right? Who was, the term is, perfect. Perfect. Complete. Not only did he do everything right, but he didn't do anything wrong. And that's harder, isn't it? It's hard to do everything right. You and I are not going to be perfect. So this lesson's not to say, all right, usually. But sometimes in thinking that we're not perfect, then we excuse our imperfection. We excuse it. God forgives it. Thankfully so. But it should not be an excuse. It should be, what should we strive to do? To be more Christ-like every day. To be more Christ-like every day. Knowing that God forgives us and we're in need of that. And I'm thankful for it. But if we appreciate the greatness of the price at which our forgiveness comes, we can never take that for granted. We can never use that as a crutch not to be about God's business to the very best of our ability and to our heart's fulfillment. When I say that is, it's not just about the actions that I do, but it's about the overflow of my heart. What's overflowing out of my heart? Because that's what God wants, right? A change in our hearts. What overflows from us? It's interesting to watch water bubble to the top of the ground, isn't it? Either a well where water will bubble to the top of the ground, or where a spring just boils up out of the ground and that water comes. It's just, to me, it's amazing. I enjoy it. And I've shared with you before, there where Mama lives, water comes to the top of the ground, lots of places. But there's a hand-dug well. It was lined with cedar. And when we cleaned it out, water shot to the top and overflowed. It's just amazing. But that was what was overflowing. And guess what? It was good water. The water in the well is sulfur. But the water that came up out of that artesian well that welled up from the ground is just as clear, just as sweet as it could be. And God says, you know, healing in your term, you know, bad water, salt water, and good water don't come out of the same well. Right? So what overflows from us? Is it sweet water, or is it sulfur water or salt water? It's what is the overflow of our hearts. Not just what we manufacture in our lives, but what overflows from us. Are we giving God our very best? The Corinthian passage that Sam read for us is about this matter of conscience. It's where this comes from, about whether to eat meat or not. And Paul's point is, don't press your own view, but be concerned about others. But the part that I really want to read was the verse that says, whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. Right? Do it all to the glory of God. That should be our motto in life. Whatever we do, do it all to the glory of God. Are we living our lives to God's glory? Because if we're going to live our lives to God's glory, we won't be satisfied with mediocre, will we? But we'll be about doing our best and improving on that every single day, being about God's business. You remember what Jesus says in the Garden of Gethsemane? And we're going to talk about this even more. We talked last week about the ascension. Remember where Jesus ascended into heaven? You know where he ascended from? The Mount of Olives. Same place where the Garden of Gethsemane is. Okay? From this same Mount of Olives. Jesus in the garden, the night that he's arrested before his crucifixion, and we all know what he prayed. He prayed that the Lord would deliver him from what he was about to have to endure. The arrest, the beating, the crucifixion, the death that was coming. But what did Jesus pray? Not my will, but your will be done. Jesus completely gave himself to God's will. Completely surrendered himself to God's will. Jesus didn't want to do it. And when I say that, because of the pain, he was willing to do it. And he was willing to do it on our behalf. And he desired to please God. He willfully did that. But it wasn't fun for him. There was nothing pleasant about it. Jesus gave everything in love for God and love for us. And that's what God calls us to. And being like Jesus, do we give everything in service to God and service to others? What's the greatest commandment? Jesus says there are two. Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as you love yourself. And on these two hang all the law and the prophets. It's about giving everything to God and loving him and loving our neighbors just as Jesus did. So the question shouldn't be, well, is this a salvation issue or not? That should not be ever a question that I ask. The question I should always ask is, what brings glory to God? What would God have me to do? to the best I can know, what would God have me do? For those of us who've been studying on Sunday night, Psalms 119, the psalmist always talks about seeking God, seeking His laws, seeking His precepts, seeking His ways. The psalmist is always about seeking God and His ways so he can walk in the paths of righteousness. And that's what God calls us to walk that straight and narrow way that leads to life eternal. Now, there are matters of opinion. There are things we just don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. God doesn't reveal to us. There's freedom in that. We should respect that. But we should always be seeking God and His ways so that in everything we do, we're bringing glory to God and we're about His business. Because God gave the very best for us and He deserves no less than our very best. If you need to, come while we stand and sing.